If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, din al-Azam, ghayru din Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Sheikh Javid, you know, I would like to ask you a question regarding, abortion, but non-deliberate abortion of a fetus, all right?
Yes.
Regardless of the fact that wherever or in which stage of pregnancy the mother is, right? So my question is that if abortion of this fetus is not deliberate,
yes,
should the mother pay any blood money? And if yes, how much?
Well, I would like to put it in this way, that if miscarriage takes place and the child dies by itself, mm-hmm, without the father or the mother being involved in the death of the child.
Yes.
Obviously, in that case, because the mother is not guilty, because no mother, actually, generally speaking, no mother wants to kill her child, no mother wants to, give birth to a dead child. Therefore, miscarriage is something that happens. You know, there are lots of women who
experience miscarriage.
Yeah, who experience a miscarriage. So, of course, abortion is not mandatory. There's no objection to the woman who miscarries a child.
So there's no blood money.
There's no blood money.
I see. Thank you very much. And my next question is, under the advice of the doctor treating a pregnant woman, all right, and she found it necessary to have an operation for her gums and teeth. Is it permissible for her to have an abortion on the grounds that the anesthesia and x-ray are going to deform the fetus?
Well, it's very absurd to hear, such claims or such excuses by some women who want to have x-ray, fearing that the fetus is going to be deformed, or she is going to, let's say, give birth to a child who is either suffering from paralysis or some difficulties, of course, anomalies, and so on and so forth. This is not the valid excuse for having abortion. Of course, the reason mentioned in the question you just posed is not valid for terminating the pregnancy. So it's not permissible for the woman to have abortion.
I see. Okay, and my next question, Sheikh Javid, is that if it is known for sure that the baby will suffer intrauterine death and continuing with the pregnancy proves dangerous to the mother's life, is it then permissible to abort it? And assuming that the husband follows in taqlid of a mujtahid, who is of the opinion that such a case does not warrant abortion, whereas the woman and her relatives follow another mujtahid who sees it otherwise, what should the husband do?
As far as I understand, the scenario of the question, the scenario the question actually suggests is that of the inevitable death of the fetus alone, or the death of the mother or her baby. So if this is the case, there is no alternative but to abort the fetus in order to save the mother, because the mother's life comes first. It's more important, and when it comes to choosing between the mother's life and the fetus, of course the mother's life is more important, and of course she can abort the child, or of course if she is not in a position to abort the child, those who are responsible and those who are in charge of taking care of the mother, they can go ahead terminating the pregnancy and safeguarding or protecting the mother's life. You know, the husband has no right to prevent his wife from aborting the fetus when it comes to saving her life, because she has every right to save her life. And it's obligatory, if possible, to act in such a way that killing the fetus should not be seen as the responsibility of anybody. So it's very much important for the woman to to have abortion only when it comes to, when it's necessary for her to save her life. And if in the event that she does not take such an action, she will end up dying. So in that case, she has every right, of course, to terminate the baby.
Mm-hmm, I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the Islamic laws related to the medical issues. Well, Sheikh Javid, is it permissible to abort the fetus, let's say at the stage of the fertilized egg? All right?
Yes.
If the pregnancy has come about as a result of a mistaken sexual intercourse by a non-Muslim or as a result of adultery?
Well, mistaken sexual intercourse, as they put it in Arabic, al-wath bi-shubha, and then, or adultery, these are not excuses, proper and valid excuses for having abortion. As I said, when it comes to all these excuses, these are not sensible reasons. These are not reasonable excuses for having abortion. And the scholars, the jurists, are all agreed on the fact that it is not permissible to have abortion in these scenarios.
I see. Okay. Well, and my next question, Sheikh Javid, is that, you know, if a woman, a pregnant woman who's 4 months old,
yes,
heard that you know, it is permissible during this period because the soul didn't enter the fetus to have an abortion. This is what she thinks without any reason. Is it permissible to terminate the unwanted pregnancy simply because she doesn't want to be pregnant?
Yeah, that is quite clear. I think. We can understand from what we have already discussed in not only in this episode but also in the previous episodes that aborting the fetus during any period of pregnancy is not permissible, let alone the scenario that you just mentioned, because you just said for example, that the child is 4 months. You know, it is because of her ignorance, because she thinks that, okay, or maybe she's heard someone say it, but she has no knowledge of Islamic Sharia, and therefore it's quite your question. I think you just quoted someone who brought that excuse, saying mm-hmm. that okay, 4 months, and at this yes. at this stage, of course, it's permissible to have abortion, and that quite suggests that she has no knowledge of Islamic Sharia. Based on the fatwa or the verdicts issued by the religious authorities, including His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, it is not permissible under any circumstances and on any account to abort the fetus at any stage of pregnancy. Let's say the woman is 1 week pregnant or 2 week pregnant or 1 month pregnant, and mm-hmm. it'll go up. You right. can say the doctors, according to some specialists, the fetus gains life at around the four month of pregnancy. At that stage, before that, after that, it's not permissible to have abortion. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are exceptions. We have discussed it already, and yes. I think it's not necessary, and it's not actually reasonable to repeat my answers to those questions.
And those listeners could refer to our archives. Just simply, they need to search Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. This is the name of the program and the whole radio station. So thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو